This is TWiT.
Google had such plans for this year, especially for Android 11 Beta 1. First, they planned to showcase it at Google I.O., but that was canceled because of COVID-19. Then Google planned a live stream to unveil the new beta release. That was canceled, of course, due to the recent kind of surge of civil rights activism that's taking place nationwide. And finally, Google just went ahead and relented and just put up a blog post and released it yesterday because they're like, we just can't win here. It's just not working. So let's just get it out. That's not to say that Google isn't excited, of course. Joining us to talk about what we can get excited about in Android 11 is Daniel Bader from Android Central. Welcome back to the show, Daniel.
Hey guys, how are you?
Awesome.
Peachy
keen. Good to see you, man. Great to get you on today. Thank you for taking some time with us. So, since this is the new beta, we should probably start with features. There are changes that focus on conversations, a few different changes. There's like conversations and then there's bubbles. But let's start with conversations. Why were these changes? And it looks like I just installed this yesterday afternoon. So I'm very new to like really living with these features, as are most people. But why are these changes needed in the notification shade? Was it just too confusing before?
Yeah, I think Google had been experimenting largely successfully with annual changes to notifications, right? I think there's a well-accepted trope that Android does notifications, if not better than iOS, then the fact that they're a bit more delineated and granular and editable and all that stuff makes it more powerful. And as a result, just the number of ways that applications were able to notify you was becoming overwhelming. And I think what was apparent, especially right now, during COVID time where everybody's at home and they're using all of these different chat services, there needs to be a way to prevent chat notifications from apps like Telegram and Facebook Messenger from getting just jumbled in with every other notification in your app in the notification shade. So this conversations view is always going to live on top of those other app notifications. They will allow you to prioritize particular people. One thing I really love about it is that you can prioritize a person in a particular app and their little face will show up in the notification shade. It's really adorable. You know, all of these things speaks to the fact that Google understands how people are using their Android phones, and increasingly it's as a form of communication via text. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Now, along this line, of conversations and messaging and everything is, one of the major features that Google seems to be touting right now is the inclusion of bubbles, which anyone who's been on Android for any number of years would say that, wait a minute, have bubbles been around for like literally years? Why is Google now giving it kind of like the official treatment, saying, okay, we've integrated it now? Is there so much demand for bubbles that finally they had to give in? Or it just seems like a strange time to like buckle down on bubbles.
I agree. I don't really have an answer for you there, Jason, other than to say this feels like something Google had been wanting to add as an official API for many years. We knew that bubbles were soft launched in Android 10 beta, and then the API was pushed past that launch. I guess they didn't get it right. Google has been finding ways of making overlays safe. So this idea of app developers building overlays on top of the screen so that you can manipulate, say, a picture-in-picture view, they've been trying to clamp down on developers that don't use these features in a consistent way. And bubbles were really up there with those kinds of features that, if abused, could potentially lead to malware and lead to a bad user experience. And the bubbles API, it kind of replaces the need for a company like Facebook, who has been using chat bubbles forever, to build their own private API to upgrade them as Android versions change. And I think this just allows Google to say, hey, if you're going to use this, just do it our way, do it consistently so that people have a consistent experience. Obviously, Google itself has been using bubbles in the phone app for a while now. If you minimize a phone call, for instance, it will become a bubble on your home screen and you can move it around. So Google basically took that idea and just made it a public API that any developer could tap into for a particular messaging service. And look, I don't think it's going to make any major changes to the way that people use their phones, but it's kind of a nice to have, and it works well with the conversations view.
Yeah. Nice. So bubbles, all very exciting. And I hate to burst them, but let's move on to something that has me excited. Is the smart home controls. By goodness, by golly, it's something that I have enjoyed on iOS for a long time, and something that when using an Android device, you know, you go into the Google Home app to do most of the smart home control, but it feels more baked in now as of this Android 11 beta. So could you talk a little bit about that and how this works separate from that Google Home app?
So I knew that you would be excited about this because you were one of the first people in my life to be excited about just like smart home controls in general and consolidation, HomeKit. You know, I remember your excitement when the Home app debuted on iOS. I think this is kind of that. I think this is Google acknowledging that people don't really go into the Home app all that much, especially to manipulate various toggles, and that if you're going to offer people an experience that's better than going into your Nest app and then your Philips Hue app and then your whatever other smart home service app separately to manipulate all of these controls, you're going to want to put it in a place that is accessible. And the home screen, the power menu rather, is totally accessible, and it makes sense. And what's really interesting about this is that it's tapping into Google Play services. And all this is just a front end for your Home app. So it's basically allowing Google to say, okay, the Home app recognizes all of these different smart home accessories, from lights to thermostats to everything. And we're just going to give you another place to make these toggles work, because if you actually tap on one of these buttons, the UI is identical to what you'd find in the Home app. So I'm guessing Google didn't really have to work that hard. It's just like, here's a different front for all of these features that already exist.
Yeah, and I have it on my screen right now. Hey, I probably can't see it very easily, but basically you hold down the power button, and along with the power features, you also get this bottom row configurable of smart home controls. And I love it because I'm every day I have to jump into either the Home app, or, you know, I've put a widget on my home screen to do certain things because that was a little bit easier. I'm so much happier with this like totally integrated solution as far as that's concerned. Right before showtime, I just saw that Android 11 actually breaks Android Pay. Obviously, that's not a feature. That won't be in the final release. But is that the case right now? Like, but basically, if you don't have to install Android 11, like for people who are curious about just running Android 11 on their daily driver, this would be a pretty big reason not to. Would you agree?
Yeah, I don't think people should install this anyway, even if it's on, like, if you have a secondary phone, a Pixel, and it works, and you don't need it for your life, for your job, I wouldn't install this yet. It's pretty buggy overall. Breaking Google Pay is weird because it actually passes SafetyNet. SafetyNet is that feature. Like, the Google basically requires manufacturers, when they update their phones, it has to go through a certification process, and all of those security, bits and bobs have to be valid. They can't, you know, make it rootable, for instance, if you update a phone, and if they find any, you know, show-stopping bugs or vulnerabilities, it will fail SafetyNet, and you won't be able to use your banking app or Google Pay. This passes SafetyNet, but for some reason, Google Pay just isn't working for many people. But we did an internal survey, and Google Pay is working for like half of the people on the AC staff that run Android 11. So I don't really know if it's a completely like ubiquitous problem or if it's just for some people. Yeah, I really don't know.
Yeah. I'll have to test it out. I've definitely been using Google Pay. I said Android Pay. It's Google's legacy of changing their names every 2 months. Yes, exactly.
What about Bitcoin?
I give it a year before it goes back to Android Pay, and then it becomes something else like Google Meet Pay, because why not? Let's just
the only thing they haven't done yet is Android Wallet. They did Google Wallet, then they did Android Pay, then now that Google Pay, and they'll go back to Android Wallet. And we'll,
oh, God.
You know,
don't tempt
I don't know what you call that. So then, all right, buggy for everyday users. That's good to know. As we, because this is kind of like closer of a view of what Android 11 actually has in store. I was surfing around the other day and I ran across the launch video for the Galaxy Nexus and I watched it and I remembered how exciting those like promotional videos for the new version of Android, the new big phone that's kind of like the launch phone for the new version of Android, how exciting those were back in the day because there was so much innovation that hadn't happened yet. There was like an endless pool of things that they could do to make phones cooler. How does Google take Android 11 and really just future device OS releases right now in this current paradigm, how do they take these things and make them exciting for consumers? Or are we kind of beyond that? Our phones are just our phones and it's hard to get excited about this stuff.
I'll say two things about this. So back in the day, you know, like any Android site, Android Central would just go whole hog on Android releases, right? From the first developer preview through the beta, through the final, and, you know, Android 6, Android 7, Android 8, those would all be insane traffic days for us, like best of the year kind of days.
Yeah.
That is not the case anymore. So Android 11, and started with Android 9 Pie and Android 10, especially with Android 10, we just noticed that the interest levels are not there anymore. And I think it's because of a couple of things. First, that when a company like Samsung brands Android, a new version, it's their own brand, right? Samsung does not advertise an Android 10 update. They advertise a One UI 2.0 update. OnePlus does the Oxygen OS whatever update. And those are separate things to what Google is doing with this public release of Android. And the second thing is exactly what you mentioned, that there just aren't that many show-stopping features. This is a mature operating system. It's been like that for a while. And it doesn't feel like anything major is missing in the way that it used to. Around, you know, 2011, Google was still building in features that iOS had had for a while, and it felt like they were trying to leapfrog one another every year. That's why Google I/O was so exciting, because you would be like, oh, this year they're adding in, you know, smart notifications or like actionable notifications and things like that. Now you take it for granted that anything you want to do on a mobile phone, you can do. I think one thing that I've heard again and again is that Google is really still focusing on the phone, not so much on tablets and Chrome. And Android is everywhere, and it's still a big deal on those two platforms, even though the sheer scale is less. And things like, you know, a desktop mode or freeform window mode, they don't feel like Google is really investing the time into making those top tier features. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is that in the future, will Google put in the effort to make Android a first class citizen on things that aren't glowing rectangles that fit in your pocket?